Memorial Day, well, I see Gio's, he's been in the military, so he understands that, is to remember those who have died in the military service. And most of you all, I don't know if any of y'all been to
D.C., but they have a Vietnam Wall, they have a career, and they have a lot of things now, and they try to put people's names on the wall, but they have a lot of people who have died that we don't know. They call it an unknown soldier. But I want you to know that this is the time that we celebrate their lives because they are the one that gave us the privilege to have a free country. Amen? If you didn't know it or not, before Memorial Day, it was called a Decoration Day because it was something they did for the Civil War. Most of you know that this country went through Civil War back in the times when the North and the South was battling against the abolition of slavery. And so they started out where they was doing a Decoration Day where they went and decorated the graves. And so they incorporated after World War I, they incorporated into the all the military service. So we have this day set aside, the fourth Monday of every May is set aside to acknowledge people, men and women who have given their lives for the cause of freedom. And if I can say this to you, if you've never heard it before, freedom is not free. Somebody had to pay for it. A lot of times we say, well, I got it made. No, you don't have it made. Somebody died. Some blood was shed that you would have the right that you have today. And it's similar, a parallel to salvation. Salvation is free to you, but it costs God everything. It costs the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus died. His life was taken so that you and me would have the freedom that we have. Amen. He said, if the Son of God shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to an Old Testament passage, the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. We're going to talk about some memorials that God told the nation of Israel to set up. But we're going to bring it over in our connotation that we need to have memorials in our lives today as we celebrate and remember the things that God have done. Joshua chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. I give you time to get there. I need you to follow me in the Word of God. It's important that we stick with the book. Amen. Joshua chapter 4. You there, say amen. Joshua chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 1. And by the way, the background is they just crossed the Jordan River. So after they crossed the Jordan River, God is going to give them this memorial. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed or entirely passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Now that Lord is capital L, capital O-R-D. So when you see capital all the way, it's talking about Yahweh. It's talking about Jehovah. The Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye how many? 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, what? 12 stones. So Jordan River is pardoned. They walked across on dry land. God said, before I close the river, I want you to go and take some stones out of the riverbank. And ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge tonight, this night. So I want you to take some stones out of the riverbed and take them over to where you're going to sleep at tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the covenant, or the ark of the Lord. And this was the ark that God sent before the people. It had, again, the cherubims on it and a mercy seat, and they was going to go into Jordan. He said, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye every man of you a what? A stone upon his shoulder. So it wasn't no little bit of rock. They had to go in the middle of the Jordan and get a big rock, a big old stone rock, and they had to lift it and heave it up on their shoulders according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So there was 12 tribes, so they had to get 12 stones. That this may be a sign among you, a memorial, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones?" then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off or stopped before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when he passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan was cut off, and these stones shall be for a what?
Memorial
unto the children of Israel forever. He said, I want you to get 12 stones. I want you to set them up when you get on the other side of the Jordan so there'll be a memorial. Jump down to verse 18. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan, what? Returned unto their place and flowed over all the banks as they did before. Now, when we get in there, I want you to understand this is a miracle. It's just like you go down to the Chickamauga Dam and God opened up the water and the water was stacked up. They walked across, and soon as they lift up their feet, and I'm telling you how quick God is, soon as the priest lift up his feet on dry land, the waters came back in. That's a miracle. That's what God did. Now look down at verse 23 and 24, and then we'll pray. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the what? Just like Moses opened up the Red Sea, God let Joshua open up the Jordan, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Read verse 24 with me together. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. God said, now I want y'all to build a memorial here today. I want you to remember that when you get down the road and you forget about it, and these children begin to look at them stones, they say, Daddy, Mama, what's these stones over here stacked up on 12? You want to tell them that's a memorial. Because there was a time when that Jordan was opened up. And I want you to know God did a miracle in our life. And as we talk about this today, we need to build some memorial for our children. They need to know some things that God did in the past. So when they ask you, well, Daddy, what about this? You say, well, hold on a minute. See, I remember when God raised you from the dead. I remember when you was on your deathbed. I remember when they thought you weren't going to live. So we need to build a memorial for the Lord. So today I want to talk to you briefly about, don't forget the memorial that God set up in your life. Okay? Don't forget it. Don't forget. Sometimes we forget, but God done some things in the past that you need to remember as a memorial, so that when somebody asks you, you say, hold on a minute. I remember when God did this. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day. A day that you have made, we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord. Bring us into a house of God to hear your word. Thank you for leaving your word as a roadmap, Lord, that we have something to think about and we have something to talk about. Lord, thank you for carrying us all this week. I even thank you for the graduation ceremony that we was able, and all the other graduates all over the world, Lord, that are graduating. Help them to keep Jesus in the mix, Lord. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson that we talked about, magnifying the Lord. David said, I will praise the Lord at all times. Some people don't want to praise him when they're down, but we ought to praise him when we're up, praise him when we're down, praise him when we're well, praise him when we're sick, praise him when we got trials, and praise him when we don't try. So we need to praise him, Lord. Thank you for our corporate prayer, Lord. Thank you for our testimonies, Lord. Thank you for our fellowship song, Lord. Thank you for our covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for an announcement by my wife, the offering, Lord. And thank you for the songs of praise that the choir sang, Lord. Now, Lord, as we don't have anything else but the word of God, minister to us through your word today, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Use these old clay lifts to preach and teach the unadulterated word of God, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the glory. For the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Don't forget the memorials that God put in your life. God always has something that you can write down and you can remember. I want you to remember that Joshua is a type of Christ. If you know that God said, choose 12 men out of all, one out of each tribe. It's a picture of Jesus. Joshua actually in the Hebrew means Jesus, Joshua. Jesus had 12 disciples. Like Jesus called 12 disciples, Joshua had 12 men. So it's a picture. The name of God, I told you, capital Lord is the name Jehovah. the name Yahweh. That name was so particular in the Old Testament that when the scribes would write it, they would put new ink in the pen because they didn't want to mess up that name Yahweh. That name, it didn't have any vowels in the Hebrew. So that name was YHHW. But we put an N in, it's Yahweh. It's the name Jehovah. It's the name that God is a covenant-keeping God. It's the name that God is a God Almighty. It's the name of God Elohim, He's the Creator. It's the name of God. We serve a God who is a covenant-keeper. He made a covenant with the people. Amen? I want you to know that we are in a covenant with the Lord today. We read our church covenant. But when God, when Jesus shed His precious blood on Calvary, He made a new covenant. And I am a part of the new covenant. You are part of the new covenant. So as long as we communion with Jesus, as long as we fellowship with Jesus, we have fellowship with Him. 3 points I want to give you this morning. I want you to remember, don't forget the memorials that God put up in your life. Point number one, sometimes a lack of history, we don't teach our kids, lack of instruction causes us to forget some things. All of us have lapse of memory, so let me help you out. There's some things you all never forget. But let me just give you a survey of some things that we always forget. We forget people's names. Some people say, I'm just not good with people's names. You meet somebody, and then you see them again, and you be trying to say, I don't want to be embarrassed. I forgot their name. We forget stuff like that. We forget where we lay something down. Oh, y'all know it all the time. I just had my keys. I just had my phone. I don't want to call it my wife, but she have a purse full of stuff. You got my key? No, I don't have your key. Forget stuff. We forget stuff. We forget people's telephone number. I'm so glad now that you can save somebody's number because you can't remember that telephone number. Call me. Or somebody call you and you don't know who it is. You say, who is this? Well, we forget that. We forget certain words when we're talking to people. And we say, what's the word I'm looking for? I need that word. We forget certain things. We forget a lot of things. We forget certain words. Somebody break our train of thought. You be talking and somebody interrupt. You say, where was I? What were we talking about now? We forget a lot of things. So we need to learn that there's something we don't need to forget. We forget whether we finish a job or not. You know, if you start something, you didn't say, did I finish it? Sometimes we forget what we're eating. We'll be eating a biscuit and we eat half of them and we forget what the other half is. And then you walk in the living room, oh, I laid it on the couch. We forget things. We forget a lot of stuff. I mentioned we forget our cell phone, we forget our key. And sometimes it's just neglect, inattention to detail. We forget things. But God instructed Joshua, I want you to get these stones and I want you to remember these stones. I want you to put them down. I want you to build a memorial. So you can, I talked about the Vietnam Wall and the wall and the Korea. These things are put there for a memorial. Amen? Let me just give you some memorials in our life. We always talk about chapters that we go through in our life. Most of us, when we grew up, you remember when, you know, that birthday, when that child was born. You don't ever want to forget that. That's why we celebrate birthday, because it's a blessing to be in the land of living. That's a memorial in my life. I tell people all the time, when I do funerals, I can tell you the time that you came in and the time that you left. But that in-between stuff, that's what you have to deal with, okay? God wants you to deal with the in-between. Memorials. Complications. I was talking about that yesterday. My daughter and my wife, almost I lost them at birth. And when my daughter was pregnant with my young daughter, I got the call. I was at the emergency room. I was going in. I had my marks on, and they kicked me out. And they both was on life support. So that's a memorial in my life. And guess what? I can talk about it now because God delivered. I can go back, and I can say, God showed up. So don't forget that memorial in your life. Don't forget that most of us have been through some sickness. You want me to tell it? The doctor shake his head. And I don't know. But I know God is still over the doctor. Are y'all listening to me? God still got more medicine than any pharmacy. God got more medicine. God no more. Matter of fact, God gave man the ability to go to medical school. And there's some doctors that are sharp, but they ain't sharp as God. I told you about this Indian doctor. There was an Indian doctor, and a lot of times those doctors are real smart. And one of the preacher's son, they found a lump in his thyroid, and he told him, he said, I don't know what to do. We done tried everything. And he took it to the church. He said, we're going to have to pray. And when he went back to that Indian doctor, he said it like that. He said, I can't talk like he talked. He said, but I don't know what you know, but it's no lump no more. God showed him. Guess what? Write that down. Put that in your prayer journal. It's a memorial. Elementary graduation. When a kid graduates, now y'all might not remember this, but those are memorials. That kid lived to graduate, graduate from sixth grade or whatever. That's a memorial. Graduate from junior high. Most of y'all was at graduation. The graduation was full. I mean, it was graduate from everywhere. Let me tell you, that's a memorial. You say, well, what about the people that don't graduate? Well, I tell them this. You can still get your GED. So don't try to use no excuse today. Well, I didn't finish, preacher. I got pregnant. Well, that's fine. You can go back. Well, I dropped out of school. That's fine. You can go back. You can get online. Matter of fact, I was teaching a preacher, and he wanted to be a pastor, and he said, I don't even have a high school education. I said, it doesn't matter, but you can get one if you want one. We enrolled him. He said, I don't know what I can do the math. I said, well, we're going to work on it. We're going to counsel you. We're going to tutor you. He went and took the English, took the math, passed, and got his GED. Now he's pastoring, amen? Now he don't have to have a degree, but since it's available, make that a memorial in your life, amen? Trade school, 2 years, memorial. College degree, 4 years, make a memorial. Some people, I mentioned yesterday, PhD, JD or whatever, memorial. Marriage, make a memorial. Anniversary, make a memorial. Promotion on your job, make a memorial. When you got your first car, you remember that? That was a memorial. When you got your first house, you remember that? That's a memorial. Even deaths. My mother died in 2013, April the 1st. I'll never forget that. Your husband died. Your father died. That's a memorial. Remember. Now God sometimes used those to bring good out of it. Amen? So don't forget it. Sometimes we forget. Well, I don't want to think about it. Let me tell you, I'm going to think about it because I remember what God did. I came to know the Lord through my grandfather's death. So God, it's a memorial in my life. I will never forget. God told me to build a memorial so that whenever it comes back to your mind, you'll say, God did this at the time when I needed it best. So we need to remember these memorials. These are typical memorials in our life. These stones that God told Joshua was a landmark, was to remind your children that when they grow up and they ask, and we need to keep these on spiritual things. People need to know, thank God, it's a spiritual God. Now, so many times we talk about the physical and the material, but talk about the spiritual. Talk about what God can do. Talk about that God is, like I said, he's a God, Jehovah Jireh. He provides. He's a healer. He's a God all by himself. We need to remember these memorials. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you know what? Not the disciples, but the Pharisees. He said, you look at the sky. And when the sky is kind of cloudy, you know it's going to rain. And you look at the sky, and when the wind get hot, when the sun get hot, you know it's going to be heat. So he said, now, as you can judge the sky, judge spiritual things. Look at the time that God, we've been talking about this in our study of Revelation, dispensation, covenant. We've been talking about this. You need to know the Bible. You need to be more than just a baby in the Bible. You need to know what age. We're in the age of grace. Amen? You need to know that. You need to know there was a time when we didn't have a complete Bible. You need to know that this Bible was canonized in A.D. 90 when John wrote it on, they finished the book on the Isle of Patmos. You need to know that. You need to know there was a time when God spoke through signs and wonders and dreams because they didn't have a Bible. You need to know that. You need to know things. So these are memorials that Jesus said you need to build up in your life. We're talking about the next thing on the calendar. The next thing on the calendar is the rapture. You need to know that. People say, well, what is the rapture? The rapture is when God going to come back and snatch the church out of this old wicked earth. God going to come back and get ready to judge this old wicked earth. You need to know that's a memorial. One day, the trumpet going to sound. One day, the Lord going to come in the clouds. One day, he going to call out. And the church going to be ushered up. You need to know that. And then what happened then? Well, it's in the Bible. There's a seven-year tribulation. Now, whether you know it or not, the world is getting ready for the Antichrist. Whether you know it or not. They're looking for a man to rule the world. And he's coming because the Bible is going to be fulfilled. And when the church is taken out, he's going to step his foot on the sand. He's going to rule and reign. He's going to make people take a number 666 in their forehead. And everybody going to buy and sell. And he's going to have a sense of false prosperity. You need to know that. But then Jesus is coming back. Amen. coming back to jail. He's not coming back here to be spit on. He's not coming back to be slapped anymore. He's not coming back for you to beat him anymore. When he come back, the Bible says he's coming back with eyes like flaming fire. He come back with a sword, with a song like a two-edged sword. He coming back with woolly hair, and he coming back with feet of brass. He coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You need to know that. These are memorials that God has put up. Don't forget the memorials that God, number one, set up in your life. The stones was a sign that God set up with familiarity with the Jews. Now, I want you to understand something. We are not Jews, so let's be careful that we don't try to take the signs and wonders and put them on the Gentile. We're not Jews. So there are certain signs that God set up. There was a sign that he told Moses when they was in the wilderness. In Numbers 28, he said, Moses, all these people that rebelled, I'm going to send fiery serpents into the midst, and they're going to bite people, and people going to die. But he told Moses, I said, I need you to make a serpent of brass. And I need you to put him up on a pole. And I need anybody that's been bitten to look at that serpent on that pole, he will be healed. Now, if you have a problem with believing the Bible, that's the symbol for medicine today. Go to a doctor's office and see, don't you see those serpents on the pole? I don't understand why people can't. I don't think that Bible is true. Where did these signs come from? Where did the rainbow come from? Why is it in the Bible? Oh, why is all the other stuff in the Bible? So it's in the Bible. So God said, make a sign. Now, that was for the Jew. And God told him to make a sign. Hezekiah had to come along later on and break down because they were worshiping that idol. Don't worship an idol. Worship God. Don't worship the creation. Worship the creator. Don't worship this building. Worship the God. Jesus said God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I hate to say this, and I don't mean to be hard on anybody, but we don't need any statues of Jesus. We don't know what he looked like. We need to worship God in spirit and true. We don't need to worship an idol. We need to worship a true and living God. Amen? There was another man in the Bible that needed a sign. His name was Gideon. Y'all know the story of Gideon. Gideon was threshing wheat to hide in front of the Midianites, and the angel of God showed him and said, thou mighty man of valor and guile. He said, who are you talking to? He said, I'm talking to you. He said, you're going to deliver the nation of Israel from the Midianites. Gideon said, I don't believe it. So Gideon did what we do. He asked for a sign. He said, I'm going to take this fleece. It was a rug, y'all. He said, I'm going to take this rug here, and I'm going to put it out on the porch, on the patio. He said, now, God, if you're real, I want you to make, in the morning time, I want you to make the dew be on the rug, but everything else around it be dry. Y'all know the story. Y'all know the story. He wanted a sign. He got up the next morning, and the rug was full of water, deuce. He wrung it out, a bucket of water, and everything else was dry. And he like me and you. That was an accident. So he said, I tell you what, God, let me reverse it. Since I can't really believe you. He said, why don't you do this, God? If you really going to use me, in the morning, let the fleece be dry. Let the rug be dry. I'm going to put it out on the patio again. And in the morning, I want it just to be dry, but everything around it be wet. You know, God heard that. He woke up the next morning. He looked at the fleece, and it was bone dry. And there were on everything. God can do whatever he wants. But let me tell you, we don't need no signs today. We got the Bible, okay? Don't need no signs. People say, how do you know God is telling me? I'm telling you, it's three ways you can know. Through the word of God, you need to line up with the word of God. God will give you peace that passes all understanding. You say, well, I'm going to relocate to wherever. I say, well, did God give you peace about it? Well, God give you peace about it. I didn't do it. I mean, people ask me all the time, I'm the pastor, what you think I should do? I say, I think you should pray and ask God. I don't know what to tell you what to do, but God will know what to tell you what to do. And here's that one that always works out. I don't care how you look at it. It lines up with the word of God. You got peace. And then the circumstance start opening up like nothing else. You think, how did that happen? I wouldn't have done that because God said, I'm going to open this door so you can go through. I'm going to close that door so you can go through. When God wants you to do something, he will work everything like clockwork, like domino. They'll fall in place, and you can say, I know God did it, because nobody else could have did it. Amen. You say you don't believe that? Well, let me help you out. I can't explain it. Now, why would God tell Joshua to march around the city of Jericho 7 days and don't say nothing for the first 6 days, but on the 7th day, just shout and the wall is going to fall down? Now, I can't understand that. That don't make sense to me. But God said it. And the Bible said when Joshua marched down to the seventh day and they shouted, the walls fell out. And the walls didn't fall from the out, they fell from the inside out. God made them fall. So let me tell you, just trust God. Amen? Moses asked for a sign. You know, Moses was like us. Moses was trained in Egypt. Very educated. Had a PhD in Egypt. Went to the school of Pharaoh. And then God called him. I need to leave my people. And he said, I can't talk. You know, that's what we do. We got an excuse. Well, God, you know I'm slow. You know I got a slow tongue. You know I stutter. Wait a minute. I'm the one that sent you to school. I'm the one that trained you. I'm the one that called you with the burning bush. God went on and said, well, I guess I send your brother since you act like you can't talk. But then Moses said, but God, I need a sign. God said, why you need a sign? Because I need a sign. So God said, that rod in your hand, since you don't believe me, throw it down. Y'all remember the story? Moses threw the rod down and it turned into a serpent, a snake. It turned into a python or what you want to call it. And Moses was afraid of it. And God said, grab it by the tail. Now, I don't know about you, but you never grab a snake by the tail. Because he'll swap around and bite you. But God said, if you're going to believe me, you know. And Moses grabbed it by the tail to turn back into a rod. God said, I'm God. Moses said, that ain't enough. God said, I tell you what, Moses, you want another sign? Take your hand and put it in your bosom. He told him, put his hand in. Y'all remember the story? He said, now pull it out. He pulled it out with leprosy. It had all these diseases on it. He said, now put it back in your chest. He put it back in your chest. He pulled it out. It was clean. He said, God said, Moses, I'm God. So I do whatever I want to. And he said, Moses, now when you go down there, Moses said, but they ain't going to believe me. He said, what you mean they ain't going to believe me? He said, they ain't going to accept me. He said, well, who shall I say tell them sent me? God said, when you get down there, just tell them I am sent you. What do you mean I am? Fill it in, Moses. I am the Redeemer. I am the King. I am the Priest. I am the bridge over troubled water. I am the bridge in the middle of the storm. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Whatever you want to say, I am. Whatever you need, I am. So, Moses, just tell them I am sent you. And they won't have to question who did, because I can do what I want to do. We need signs. God gave a sign. But let me help you out. God stopped doing signs because we got the word of God. They came to Jesus and they said, Master, show us a sign. He said, here's a sign. You believe on him that God has sent his son. I'm not doing no more sign. Master, we'll believe as you sent us a sign. Y'all know the man who would not accept God's word. His name was Zechariah. Zechariah was in the temple, the father of John the Baptist. And he was in the temple doing the business of making an atonement for the people. And Gabriel showed up and said, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth, who's old, going to have a son. And you know what he said? How shall I know? He said, that's enough. I just told you, you wouldn't believe the word of God. Since you don't understand and won't receive me, you're going to be dumb until the baby born. See, God said, I ain't give you no more sign. I told you what to do. You know what we do? We can't believe God. God said, I'm going to do this for you. You say, well, God, I don't know how. You don't have to know how. God, I'm going to do this for you. How God going to do it? People ask me all the time, how God going to do this? I don't know how he's going to do it. But I know what his promises said. The Bible said all the promises of God are yea and amen. God said it. I believe it. Well, let me take that back. God said whether I believe it or not, it's still true. People say, God said it and I believe it. Well, you believe it or not. God said it. It's true. God will do everything. God, Jesus told him, say, there will be no more sign. Point number one, there are some things, again, that we should never, never lack of history of instruction. We should never forget. Point number two, the 12 stones was a memorial familiarity to the nation of Israel. And the last point, no Christian should ask for any mechanical sign today. We have the complete word of God. We've been studying Revelation. When the book was closed, it said nobody should add to it or take away from it. I have what I need. This Bible says, out of this are the issues of life. Every question, every problem can be answered from the word of God. Somebody asked me one time, say, well, it don't say in the word of God that you can't smoke marijuana. I said, hold on a minute. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, if you defy this temple, I will destroy it. So whenever you take marijuana, and if you ever done the study on marijuana, I know they got a big debate on it, but if you ever take it, and I talked to a whole lot of Christian theology and Christian medical, and they're saying marijuana caused problem with your brain. It caused problem. I don't care what people say. Well, you know this. Let me tell you. Marijuana caused problem with your memory, your brain. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So don't defy. People say, well, don't say anything in the Bible I shouldn't drink beer. Well, wait a minute. It might not say don't drink beer, but it tell you wine is a mocker. And who yourself drink is unwine. The Bible says the Bible has every answer for every issue in life. Whatever you're going through, if it's not specific, the principle is there. The precept is there. If you follow God's precept and principle, he will give you the right answer. Amen. We got everything that we need. We got everything we need. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things, what things? Everything that happened in the Bible happened to us for examples. They are written for our admonition. God wrote about these so we won't fall in the same sin that the people in the Old Testament fell in. You know what people say? Experience is the best teacher. That's not true. You know what's the best teacher? Experience of others. I don't need to go and get on drugs because you got on drugs. That is. You can't help me. You ain't never been on drugs. That's a lie. Just because you went on, I see what it did to you. So that your experience gonna help me. So I don't need to be on drugs to understand drugs. Let me tell you, the experience of others. Look, I got the experience of Abraham. He lied about his wife. I don't need to do that. I got the experience of the Bible. Peter denied the Lord. I don't need to do that. I got experience in the Word of God that have helped me to live. Romans 15:4 said that through patience and comfort of the Scripture, we may have hope. The Bible said we should not be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Every time something comes down the pike, you buy into it. Check it out in the Word of God. If it don't line up with the Word of God, it's not true. I hate to say this, but it's true today. People saying you born and you don't know what gender you is. Now that ain't in the Word of God. You born either male or female. That's in the Bible. It ain't no. Now I had a girl ask me, say, well, what if you born with two organs? I said, that's rare, but it does happen. Well, if you're born with two organs, the doctors have found out now they need to wait until you're a certain age because they were castrating or they were deciding for you at a baby. They found out they was making a mistake. They wait until a person got two organs, they wait until they grow up, and whichever side is the dominant is the one they change to. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach this morning. That's what we need to do. We ain't God. But let me tell you, when God make you, you're what God made. I preached over at the revival. I told people this. I said, look, let me tell you, God made me black. God made me male. God made me to grow up in the hood. Who am I to question? Well, God, you shouldn't have made me black. No, I can't question God. God, you shouldn't have made me a male. I'm not a male. I am, here it is, I am challenging the sovereignty of God. Let me tell you, God can do whatever he wants to. Whenever he wants to. You know what my job is to do? Is to accept it. Accept it. We need to understand it. We got the Word of God. The Bible said don't be tossed to and fro. The Bible said don't be carried away with diverse and strange doctrine. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Everything coming down the pike. We do not need to fall for everything coming down the pike. There's a big movement today, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to preach it. It's a prosperity teaching today. That if you are not blessed, God is not in your life. That's a lie. That's a lie. There have been several missionaries that have caught malaria and died on the field. There have been several Christians that have been beheaded by ISIS. That has nothing to do with it. Well, you know, health and wealth. No, that's not true. That's not, the Bible does not teach that. Matter of fact, you see in the Bible, people got sick. You see in the Bible that James got beheaded by Herod. You see in the Bible that people suffer. It's no such thing as prosperity gospel. Yes, God is going to bless my spirit, but don't me trying to get materialistic and saying if I ain't got a big old house and a big old car, God ain't blessing me. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. Matter of fact, I'm more blessed now because I'm content with what I have. Paul said, I learned how to be content. When I'm hungry, I can praise the Lord. When I'm got full, when I got money in the bank or no money in the bank, I can praise the Lord. Let me tell you. Learn to be content. Lord, amen. There's four kind of people in the church as I close. Four type of people in the church. Which one are you? There's a babe. There's a carnal. There's a natural man. And then there's a spiritual man. Well, let me help you out. Paul was rebuking the church at Corinth because there were babies in the church. Y'all know what babies do? argue, fuss over the rattler, fuss over the toy, fuss over my two granddaughters was grabbing a little ball of water and they was fussing over that. You don't know what babies do. We need to stop being babies in the church. We need to grow up and be mature. Amen? You know what's going on in the church of Corinth? They were backbiting and fussing and fighting, taking each other to court. They were doing all kind of immorality, sin in the church. Paul said, you are carnal, babes in Christ. Now, let me tell you, if I've been saved more than 2 weeks, I ought to know a little something about the Bible. Somebody said, turn to the book of John. I've been saved 10 years. Where's John at? Come on now. You don't know where the gospel is. You all know where the gospel of John is. You all know the God. You all know the full gospel. You all know a little bit about the Bible. I mean, you'd have been saved long enough to know something. Stop being a baby. You know what a baby you have to do? You have to change the diaper. You have to burp them. And you definitely got to get that yo-yo to get them happy. We don't need to be like that. You need to grow up. Carnal. Y'all know what a carnal is. A carnal is a person that got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. A carnal person that go to club on Saturday night and come to church on Sunday morning. A carnal person that live like the devil all week and come say hallelujah. Let me tell you, God said that ought not be. Carnality. The church ought to not be carnal. You know when the church is carnal, when everything that the world is for the church, they for it. I don't have nothing wrong with that. What do you mean you don't have nothing wrong with that? That ain't scripture. Well, that's the problem with the church. You want to be different. Yeah, you ought to be different. The church ought to be different. If a rapper or a gangster come into church and it's the same thing going on, he don't need to change. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Let me tell you, you can't be the same. You can't do the same. You can't sing the same song. You can't go to the same places. You can't act the same way. When you become saved, you're a new creation. You're a new creature in Christ. So it ought to be something different. Amen. But you know who will know it? The folk that know you. They'll know you. I ain't got nobody else to preach on but myself. But I can tell you, when I got saved, my friends say something happened. Something wrong with that boy. He lost it. I ain't never seen him act like that. And I remember when my sisters them got saved, some of her friends would come and say, she done changed. I ain't never said she don't want to do nothing. And I was saying to myself, I'm so glad she got saved. When people get saved, you don't have to tell their friends will pick up on it. Amen? They'll pick up on it. Matter of fact, you don't have to cut your friends loose. They'll cut you loose. They'll cut you loose. But they get tired of that talking about Jesus. They get tired of every time I'm angry. And you ain't going to be smoking in my car. You ain't going to be drinking. You ain't going to be cussing around me. I remember we was at a job at TVA, and we got a supervisor that got saved. He got so frustrated with all the coming in those staff meetings, people cussing and acting. He said, look, I'm the new superintendent. From now on, there'll be no cursing in my staff meeting. They run him off real quick. Because the system is not for that. I mean, it wasn't too long I heard that he wasn't the superintendent no more because he had stopped all that mess. But you cannot, I want you to hear me out. You cannot legislate righteousness. You cannot make a world do right. You can only stand for yourself. Now, it was good that he did that, but what he did was he put himself against that whole company, and that whole company, they talked to the big boy, and they said, he got to go. So you got to remember, I remember there was a coach. He had his team praying, football team praying. They suspended the coach. And that didn't make sense. I mean, they said that we can pray, but they said, no, you can't pray. You can't pray before the game. You can't pray. You can't have the teachers pray. And then the sad part is, we are so hypocritical in America. Let some disaster come. Go and pray. Wait a minute. You don't believe in pray. Well, we need to pray. They was having, in Georgia, they didn't have no rain. The governor said, let's pray for rain. You don't believe in prayer. 9/11. They went in the Twin Tower. The whole congressman got on the steps of Washington, D.C. on Pennsylvania, and everybody offered up a prayer. What are you praying for? You don't believe in prayer. But let me help you out. Everybody's prayer don't go up. Amen? See, the problem is that generic God don't get it. Well, let's pray to God. Well, what's his name? Well, he could be. No, it can't be no Allah. It can't no be. No. If you don't call the name of Jesus, don't pray. If you're going to call me, I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, thank you for what you do. In the name of Jesus, Jesus the Christ, he's the Son of God. In the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts, they would all say, pray in my name. In the name of Jesus. And I just started this job where I'm working part-time, and we got one guy. You know, I thought I was a kind of a zealot for the Lord, but every time somebody gets sick on the job, he put out on GroupMe. That's the big thing everybody got. Pray in the name of Jesus. Ask Jesus to heal. He said, bleed the blood of Jesus. And I be saying to myself, I'm so glad somebody else like me. They know I'm a preacher, but this guy, he's telling them, and let me tell you, people hate that. But guess what? That's what they need. But you know, it's so ironic to me. People will hate you until they need you. They won't have nothing to do with Jesus, but don't let something happen in their life. Would you pray for me, please? I know you getting there with the Lord. You ain't never talked to me, but guess what? I'm going to go pray. But you know what we need to learn how to do? Love people anyway. The same people that'll be your enemy, the Bible say, pray. Your prayer heaps of coals of fountain ahead. The Bible say, pray for those that despitefully use you. Bless them. When people curse you, say, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the Lord, good. They just can't stand you. They're blessing the Lord and they're cussing you out. That's all right. He going to work it out. God got a plan. Look, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, what you think, preacher? It don't matter what I think. I'm going to trust the Lord. God is good. I remember when we laid off at TVA and everybody was going through all the trouble and they were struck. And I would read my Bible every day when we went down there to the EPD. And one guy came and he said, you need to be filling out a job. I said, you ain't doing nothing. I said, yes, I am. I said, I'm reading my Bible and then I'm going to take my time. I'm going to fill out the application that I qualify, but I'm not going to get paranoid. You know what paranoid is? I had a guy say, I got a family. What are you paranoid about? That's all y'all talk about Jesus. Can Jesus put bacon on my table? Jesus can do whatever he wants to. He can put grits in your table. He can put eggs. He can put that. But we need to trust in the Lord. Amen? Spiritual person. That's the person that you can't ruffle their feather. We need that in the church. No matter what's going on, they come and they trust in the Lord. Isn't that okay? Spiritual person, you can go to them. I got this problem. They say, well, let's pray about it. Well, what you going to do? We're going to ask the Lord. I don't know the answer, but God knows the answer. And let me help you out. Nothing catch God by surprise. They just had an accident. Do you think God didn't know about it? I just got laid off. Did you think God didn't know about it? Look, be spiritual. You want to know how you get spiritual? Get in the book. And I'm going to say this, and I hope y'all pick this up. Laying your head it won't get it. There's some people say, I slept on my Bible. No, you didn't get anything. You have to open it up. You have to read it. It don't osmosis go into your system. You have to study. And by the way, it's a little bit more to it than just reading the Bible. It's meditating on it. It's regurgitating. It's living it. See, when you study the Bible, you need to think about it. And then when a trial comes to your life, you need to come up with a verse. My God shall supply all my needs according to riches and glory. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Everything. I'm crucified. Every time something comes in your life, let that verse come to you. When the devil came to Jesus, and he's our perfect example, Jesus used the word. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He went back to the word. Went back to Deuteronomy. Satan, it is written. Satan even tried to use the word on Jesus. Told him, cast yourself off the temple. It's written that they won't let your foot bash the stone. Jesus said, now Satan, you need to get behind me with that mess. You quoting part of it, but you ain't quoting the rest of it. See, if you want to quote the whole part, it says, I'm going to tread on the serpent in the line. In other words, I'm going to stick my feet on your head. You ain't got on that part. See, Satan will quote his part to mess you up. And one thing about the devil, he will twist scripture. Did y'all know that? People say, I know what the scripture said. I said, no, that ain't what it means. Oh, that's your interpretation. No, that ain't my interpretation. The Bible says no private interpretation. But the holy men of God speculate and moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God will confirm the same thing in your heart as in my heart. Now, there's some things that you may be convicted on that's a little bit different, but it will still line up with the scripture. Amen? So what we need to do, we need to be spiritual. We need to pass the memorial. Tell your children about the Lord. Tell your grandchildren. My sister told me that yesterday. We was at the thing. She said, Bubba, we got to reach the grands now.
We got the grand, huh? Yeah.
Your kids done grown up. They grown. Let me help you out. You can't do nothing but pray for them, okay? Because they'll tell you quickly, I'm grown. Dad, I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do. That's all right. God can tell you what to do. But guess what? Those grandchildren, they still can be reached. They still young. Y'all might not know that, but they be listening and watching you all the time. They be watching you all the time. Well, Grand, what that mean? That's a wonder. That mean the Lord is going to work things out. Well, Granddaddy, how does the Lord going to work that out? Just like he worked the other thing out. Well, what do you think about this? God got a way. And what you need to do, you need to pray. I teach my grandchildren the Lord's Prayer. You say, well, that's a regular. They need to know the Lord's Prayer. Jesus say, teach them how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Teach them how to pray. And then I tell them, say, when you pray, you always start with a circle. You start with your immediate family. Then you start with your relative. Then you start with your neighbor and the people you work with. And I tell them, like, I say, now you need to pray for your summer camp. You need to pray that you're getting out of school. You need to pray for your mother and your daddy. You need to pray for your grand. You need to pray for your cousin. You teach them that when they're young. You know what they'll do when they grow up? They'll remember. They'll remember. Now they might go away a little while. But the Bible said that he will return. So the Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old. So let me say, they get to 18 and 19, they get to thinking they're on their own. I can do it, I want to do it. And let the world beat them down for a little bit. World beat them down for a little bit. And then they'll go back to, you know what? My mom and daddy told me what the Bible said. And when they get on their knee, you know the greatest thing I like about it? God is forgiving God. Isn't that great? Stop being, well, you did this. They don't care what they did. It's over now. I told a guy, I remember I was teaching at UTC, a guy told me, he said, I will come to your Bible study, but I just messed up. I said, guess what? You can get it right today. I know you messed up, but guess what? You and me and everybody else done messed up. But you know what you can do? You can bow your head and ask the Lord to forgive you. And you can turn here to turn from, that's a repentance, turn from sin and turn into Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. But the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Moses was a murderer. You didn't know that, did you? Moses killed a man and hid him in the sand. God still used him. Paul was a murderer. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? Paul was standing there when they stoned Stephen to death. He was holding the coat. Paul said, I was a blasphemer. I was an injurious. I was ignorant, did all that. He said, but God had mercy. Call me into his ministry. Let me just tell you, it don't matter what you did. Ask Rahab. Rahab said, look, I did a lot of things, but guess what? I'm in the lineage of Jesus. So you can talk about all your. Ask Ruth. Ruth was the Moabite. Ruth in the. Look, there are four Gentile women in Jesus' genealogy. So don't say God can't use you. God can use anybody that's willing to say, Lord, I repent, I turn, and I give my life to you. So our memorial today ought to be pass the baton on to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Let's reach this next generation for Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day. Thank you for the 12-stone memorial that Joshua took up out of the Jordan so that they would never forget that you dried up the Jordan. But not only that, Lord, thank you for the memorial in our lives. Have you helped place certain things in our lives that we need to remember that God did it alone. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you carried us. And like the old people say, you made a way out of no way. You carried us all the way. So, Lord, we're so grateful. I think about America and Afro-America, how we came from slavery, how we came through segregation, how you integrated, and how you gave us the high-rise job. But, Lord, help us never to forget the memorials in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for making a way that we can praise you today. Now, bless us, we give the invitation, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.